Let's ask the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, the very life of God, the Spirit of God, to come at this particular moment. Because in this moment, Father God, we fully expect to be blessed. We fully expect to receive wisdom. We fully expect, Lord Jesus, to become instruments of your love and your grace. So come, Holy Spirit, open our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts, that your wisdom will shine through, that surely we may begin to build your kingdom on this earth, in us, now, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Probably this has been one of the greatest weeks of my life. Probably. I can't think of a time that I've rejoiced more and I've been attacked more. I can't think of a time that I've ever experienced like this week. In 14 years, I've never had a week like this one. And yesterday, you all know how I love David Stewart, don't you? I mean, David Stewart to me is just a wonderful brother. Now, he may not preach everything just like I'd like to hear it, but if I can ever allow myself to listen, if I can ever allow me to hear, then I know that God is able, through the words that Jesus spoke and through the edification and the wisdom that comes from us, that we'll grow. David yesterday spoke something that's been in my heart that I just really never tied it together. The storm. And he made reference to our lives as storms. When you have a split personality, there's a storm. You have a personality of the flesh, and you're every single moment of every day, we're desiring to take the personality of Jesus. That creates a storm. We feel inadequate. We're sometimes captivated by fear. Our flesh always wants to be first. We like, you know, there's all kinds of obstacles that we're constantly struggling with. And we see that Jesus never had a struggle, did he? Well, he did, didn't he? But if you just read the part in the boat about the Lord Jesus as he lay in the boat asleep as the great storm came, You could very well say, well, you know, Jesus being God, laying in that boat, no concern at all because he knew he couldn't die until the appropriated time had come for him to depart. And he knew that. He just knew it. The other disciples didn't know it. And folks, we realized from the message yesterday that Jesus was awakened so that he could begin to worry with the disciples. Oh, we're going to die. He said, what's news? I mean, that ain't news. We all know that. And if you're up on Scripture, how many times did Jesus say, I am the resurrection? Over and over, he kept telling people, I am, that's my mission. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the road. I am the inspiration. I am the Word. And so this morning, I'm not going to take a lot of time with this because it hadn't really become fully knowledgeable in me yet to where I can preach it. But I know that any time that God begins to deal on me in an area, if I'll step out and move into it, he'll begin to show me wisdom in it. I never wait for wisdom to start. I always start and hope for wisdom to come. Amen. And in that, I'm willing to be a jackass for God. I'm willing to get up here and absolutely be a total, complete idiot for God and never say one thing that would help anybody, hoping that God would say something through me that would help everybody. That's the attitude we've got to have. And so then if I've got that attitude toward me, how could I ever have a different attitude toward you? If I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to say this or how I'm going to put it together or how God will form it and fashion it to where it'll be a blessing to you, then surely I shouldn't have a problem with you as you begin to get up and start to speak, knowing that as you start, God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge. The reason I don't have a problem with any of the teachers here, I never have had a problem with what Brian said. He said some hard stuff. Remember when Peter said, oh, Paul talks a hard talk? He didn't like it. That's hard. Brian talks a tough message. Hard. But I love it. You know? I'm not sure I'm quite where he's at yet. But I love his message. Tony T. talks a tough message, an area that I'm not totally sure of. But I want to tell you, as long as I'm committed to hang around these guys, I'm going to grow. David Stewart, I'm going to grow. I will grow simply because I have an open heart to learn. So as we begin to go out as evangelists, I want you to know that there is a storm, but Jesus shows us that there can be peace in the storm. Now that peace will come through a decision of you knowing who you are, where you've come from, what your mission is, and where you're going. Once you understand that you've come from God, and you're here on a mission for God, and you're on your way back to God, once you understand that, then the storm that brews will be calm. So the message this morning, I want to read to you the agony in the garden. I want to show you another storm. I want to show you a reversal of what David talked yesterday. Jesus being asleep in the boat and the disciples going crazy for somebody to come and help them in their fear. Listen to this. Then Jesus came with the place. When Jesus came to a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorry and distressed. Folks, I'll tell all of you, all storms come when you begin to feel sorry, it'll cause distress. When you allow your position or your flesh or your wherever you are in your spirituality, if you become or allow the flesh to mandate to your thinking, you'll enter in distress. It'll create a storm when you begin to kowtow to your flesh. It creates a storm not only for you, but it'll create a storm for everybody. Everybody will be caught in the storm. Amen. Now listen to what goes on. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." My soul is sorrowful. "Remain here and keep watch with me." How many times have you said to someone, "I want you to pray with me. I want you to agree with me. I want you to assist me. I want you to come alongside and shore me up. I want you to help me out in this situation." Now, if you ask those that are the closest to you, you would expect some response, wouldn't you? If I asked Brian Casey this morning, said, "Brian, look, I really, really need your help. I'm in a distressful situation. And I really need you to assist me. I would really expect Brian to do that, wouldn't I? Now, for Jesus is sitting in this situation, his soul is distressed. He has entered into a sorrowful spirit. He is being overwhelmed with the situation that's approaching him. And he takes three of his main top guns, and he said, "Now I want y'all to come with me and watch with me. Be with me. Help me through this situation. I want you to help me." How many times have you cried out for help? And you run to someone that you just knew could help you, and they turned you down. In fact, the help that you got turned out to be an obstacle instead of a help. Amen. Are we in the right place this morning? I mean, I'm just wondering if I'm talking. Is this hitting the home? Is this fitting the hearts this morning? What I'm saying is, see, I can only talk what I've experienced. And the one that you expect the most out of, the one that you expect to back you up and to be there and to assist and to encourage. And it could be from all different. It could be a parish priest. It could be your wife. It could be your children. It could be the Pope. I mean, you see, as human beings, you know, we really depend on one another, don't we? To some degree, we depend on one another. We love one another. Jesus advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. I do not want to go through this suffering." Now, if you all will go back to what happened yesterday when David was talking, Jesus was asleep while the disciples were suffering. They were in agony. Their souls headed into sorrow. They're fixing to die. Lord, surely you don't want us to die now. We're just getting started in ministry. Amen. I mean, you know, help, jump into this storm and help us, because we're just frightened to death. So we see here, here's the point that I want to... We see a total reversal of the situation. We've never seen Jesus in a storm. Through his whole ministry, we've never seen... Boy, he would sidestep the Pharisees. This guy had a word for everyone. I mean, he was one. I mean, he was hot on the mark. He was sticking them. I mean, boom, 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 boom. He was raising the dead. He was cleansing the leper. Everybody would walk around and go, "Woo! Here he is." Now, all of a sudden, the whole stage is reversed. "Hey, fellas, come on. My heart, I'm really feeling bad about this situation. My flesh is fixing to die, and I'm not sure I want that." Are y'all listening? See, when you're willing, when the day comes, you're not going to be too willing. I'm convinced of that. This old flesh is something else. And Jesus is crying out to God. Now, he's asked three of his main top henchmen to pray with him. He's asked them to come and watch with him, to assist him. And he gets on his prostrate himself before God. And he said, "God, listen, let this cup... I do not want this cross. I'm not interested in it. But your will be done." I'll tell every one of you in here, as you begin to walk in this ministry that God's called you to do, there will be times you said, "Lord, I don't want to do this, but I'll do it because you're involved. I'll go ahead and do it. I don't want to. My flesh doesn't want to. I don't want to have to experience this pain. It's too hard. I just don't want to get involved, but Lord, I'll do it. Father, your will be done. Now, you would think that would have ended the storm right there. I mean, Jesus prays one time and it's over. But according to this, listen to what happened. It says, then he returned to his disciples and he found them asleep. They were not the least bit concerned about his storm. They weren't able to watch with him. Y'all get that? Jesus had entered into the storm of life. The very storm that the disciples had entered into in the boat. His flesh was fixing to check out of here. And he said, fellas, this is going to be tough. Would you all come on and help me in this situation? And he prostrated himself and he cried out to God, let it pass, but your will be done. If I've got to die, I'll do it. Then he run back to his disciples and they were asleep. Now, if a man's asleep, he can't be distressed about anything. Do you know how many people I know that really love me? I mean, really, really, really love me. There's one. His name is Jesus. Now, Brian Casey will talk about it, and we have a relationship. I want to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you in my distress, old Brian will lay right down and go to sleep and not give it one second thought of the stress that I'm in. And folks, I want you to know that. I want you to know as you leave here Friday that you walk out and when your flesh becomes attacked, you won't have nobody to stand with you. And the ones that you expect to stand the most, the ones that will shore you up the most, that will encourage you the most, will be the very ones that will fall asleep on you. And they'll look at you like, well, what's wrong? And here you are dying. Does this make any sense at all? Yeah. Best reading yesterday, I don't know why God told me yesterday to talk on edification, lighten up. And here we are back in a storm again. Amen. The storm of life. Folks, the greatest disaster that's ever hit this world is man to die, an appointed time to die. It is the great tribulation of this world, and it started 7,000 years ago. And if you can ever let that fit in your book, that your tribulations and your trials of life are today, there'll not be a tomorrow or a yesterday, that there's only a today. And the day Jesus said, deny yourself and pick up the cross, and you're not going to get anybody to help you pick it up. You're going to carry that sucker all by yourself because the one that you expect the most will be laying right there asleep, not the least bit concerned because they can't enter into your mind or your heart to know what's going on inside of you. Now, we can encourage one another, but folks, I don't know your heart. And I'm going to tell you something, you don't know my heart. We don't know one another's heart. We can see the fruit. We can see the outward appearance. We can see the light. But you don't know a man's heart. And the disciples, not that they didn't love Jesus, but their concern had kind of faded because they really didn't know the struggle that he was in. They didn't know that his appointed hour had come. He had told them, but they didn't know what. So what? What's he talking about? An appointed hour, it's time for me to check out of here. And he said he found them asleep. Now you would think that would have solved it right there, and he'd have woke them up and kicked them a little bit and said, what's wrong with you suckers? Can't y'all watch with me? That's exactly what he said. Listen to what he said. He said, so you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. What was Jesus entering into? He was entering into the test. His flesh was entering into the test. Pray and watch that you don't enter into the test. Every one of you here, folks, have entered into the test. The beginning of sorrow. The great birthing pain. The born-again experience. being filled with the Holy Ghost, carrying around a trashy old fleshy body. Amen? It's a hard thing to do. So I can tell you right now that there's storms and there is stress, and there'll be times that you'll want people to help you in your stress and they'll go to sleep on you. And you can't even get mad at them. They'll just fall asleep. And then Jesus says this, the Spirit, watch and pray, that you may not undergo the test. The Spirit is willing, the Spirit, let's all say the Spirit is willing. There's not a one of you in here that doesn't have a willing spirit this morning. Not one. Not one. Every one of you in here this morning has a willing spirit. But what does it say? The flesh is what? It's weak. And folks, you've got a Holy Ghost sitting inside that's willing, and you got a flesh that's going, I ain't going. I don't like it. I don't want to put no pain on this thing. I don't want to put no pressure on it. I don't want to enter into the storm because I like aid and comfort. I like to be patted on my back and told how good I am and what a great job I've done. And you know, the ones that you expect to do it the most, well, the ones that will just lay down on you and go to sleep. Amen? That's the reason I don't never look. I've had dinner into this. I don't look. I really don't go around looking for edification anymore. I love it, but I don't look for it. And it'll come from the strangest people. A wonderful man walked up to me. I'm going to see if I can see him in here. I don't know whether he's giving his talk yet. But he walked up to me, him and his wife. I knew that I'd seen him before, but I didn't know where. He said, do you know that you are responsible for changing my life? I go, whew. Then all that pain that I've been through all of a sudden is worth it. Just one little statement, and he turned around and walks off. And I don't even see him this morning. He may have left.
Stop your cassette player here and turn tape to side two.
Having to pick it up. Praise the Lord, good news. Well, we're having a conference next year, and we'd like to see about getting Charlie Osborne to come and be our keynote speaker. I said, praise God, brother, this is Charlie Osborne speaking. He says, oh, praise God, hallelujah. He said, brother, you'll never know what you've done to my life. There I go again. Now, I believe we've got to have those moments to keep walking. See, my walk with God is a decision. Jesus' walk with his Father was a decision. And his flesh was involved, and he didn't want his flesh to have to suffer. So he said this. Now this is the second time he prayed.